Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a single verse from the Holy Gospel, verse 38, which reads, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is the word of the Lord given to us this morning as our God comes to us. And as we hear, blessed is the coming King. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is the season when we begin thinking of coming or to visiting family and friends. We begin to plan to leave on this day and arrive at this time. We plan to come and spend this amount of time, and then we plan our trip back home. You know, the same order is kind of found in the church and in the church year. And may I add, Happy New Year! Now that sounds odd at the beginning of December, but in the church, this is the beginning of a new church year. This is a Happy New Year. And during this coming year, you'll be hearing a majority of God's Word from the book of Isaiah, from the epistles of 1 Corinthians and Hebrews, and a majority of our gospel lessons will be read from the gospel according to St. Luke. So we begin this new year from the 19th chapter of St. Luke, and at a very unusual place, the triumphal entry. As Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and ultimately Jesus is coming to His cross to save mankind, to save you, to save me from our sin, from the power of death, and from the destruction of the evil one. Today, dear one, we hear, blessed is the coming King. And Jesus is certainly blessed, for He is the King. Jesus is blessed, for He was willing, and only was He willing, to sacrifice Himself upon the cross. This is the way of the kingdom, my dear friends, that in the kingdom of God, before there is blessing, there must be suffering. Jesus is blessed since He too has also suffered. And He has suffered in a way that you and I, we just cannot fathom. When we come into the season of Lent, we try to make even clearer sense of it. But it's still kind of a mystery to us. How can the God-man allow Himself to be cruelly treated, to be scourged, a crown of thorns thrust upon His head, and to be nailed to a cross? Under our Constitution, we would call that cruel and unusual punishment. But in God's case, it was a punishment that was very necessary because of your sin and my sin. Now, Jesus is blessed. This word blessed can also mean to confer a blessing upon someone for a benefit that they are about to give. So Jesus is blessed, for He is about to confer upon you, to confer upon me, to confer upon the whole world a divine blessing. And what has He conferred? He has conferred upon us the forgiveness of our sins. He has conferred, freely given to you and to me, life and salvation. You and I, we bless the Lord for all the benefits that He has given to us. And during this season, maybe that's a time that we need to kind of step back and consider all the rich blessings that God has given to us. Yes, we understand our suffering. We understand all the pain in our life. We understand that a lot of this pain we have caused ourselves, because we have turned away from God. Yet God is always willing to welcome us with open arms and with a glad word, And that glad word is, dear one, your sin. All your sin is forgiven. So therefore, we do bless Him, as we have already done in our liturgy this morning. Therefore, it is right and proper for us, as we today, as we always remember, and as did His followers then, as He was descending from the Mount of Olives and coming into Jerusalem, they shouted out to Hallel, right there in Psalm 118. We too should be shouting this out, Baruch Haba, Basam Yahweh. Baruch Haba, Basim Hadonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Except in our text this morning, Luke makes an addition. He puts it in here, the blessing is here, but he calls Jesus the Blessed One who is coming to His people. He is the coming one. He is the King. A king has come to receive what has been promised to him. Now, normally, the subjects of the king would come before the king and receive what the king has promised. But in this case, the king is coming to the people, and he's going to receive what's been promised to him. And this promise has come from his Father in heaven. What is the promise that is to be given to Jesus? The kingdom of heaven. Yes, dear one, the king has come, and he will come again. We know this as his second advent. But actually, he has already come to you. He has already found you here in the waters of holy baptism. He comes today, dear one. Once again, he comes. Today, he comes to you in body and blood, in bread and wine. He comes to you in the preached word. He comes to you each time that you're here. And what do you hear? Yes, we hear the truth of His law, that we are sinners. That includes me. But we also hear the truth of His gospel, of what Jesus has done for you, that you are no longer condemned, that He comes to you, and He comforts you with soothing words. My dear one, I have died for you. Your sin is forgiven. Stand up straight. Stand up tall. You are special because you're my child. Yes, Jesus has earned for you the kingdom. He has earned the kingdom for you. And because of what He has done for you here at the cross, and because the tomb is still empty and will always be empty, we too who believe in Him as our risen and triumphant Lord, we too believe that we will one day live with Him in His kingdom. And there in His kingdom, there is no more pain. There is no more suffering. There is no more crying. For all these things are the old things, and they will all pass away. But what else do we hear this morning? We hear that Jesus comes in the name of Yahweh, in the name of Adonai. And actually, if you will look in the Old Testament, we know that the word Lord is in all caps, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh. That's the holy name. Thusly, Jesus comes by the Father's authority. He doesn't come by any other's authority. He doesn't even come by His authority. He comes by His Father's authority. You see, Jesus is not a usurper. He is not like Satan, who tries to convince you that He is the Lord when He's not. But Jesus is the Lord, and He didn't proclaim this Himself. It was proclaimed to us by our Father in heaven and His Father who is in heaven. Therefore, Jesus is the rightful heir. He is the rightful heir of the throne of heaven. And you know that He is the rightful heir by His words and by His actions, by His death, by His burial, by His rising and by His ascending. As Jesus has already told us, whoever receives me receives Him who sent me. When we believe in Jesus, we are believing in God. And in that belief, in that faith, we are saved. Because of Jesus, and because He has done this great work for you, there is peace in heaven. Peace in heaven. In this season, that may sound rather familiar, doesn't it? For these are the very words sang in the doxology by the angels right outside Bethlehem. This doxology, this hymn of praise, sung by the angels, peace on earth, glory in the highest, peace among men with whom God is pleased. Yes, there is peace today. Now, I know if you look at the news or you open your newspaper or your website, wherever you may want to do your surfing for your news, you see that there is no peace. Therefore, God must be a liar. That's not the peace, though, that God is talking about. The peace that Jesus brings is not an abstract human peace by human design or by human thought. No, this peace that Jesus brings is a peace that was declared at His birth, which the children will even declare for us on Christmas Eve. So therefore, this peace is a peace that Jesus brings. And this peace He brings by going to the cross. And at the cross, Jesus cries out, "Tetelestai, it is finished, the peace has come." Dear ones, your sin is forgiven. You are no longer at war with God. God has won the war for you, and He Himself has declared the peace. You are at peace with God. You have that inner spiritual peace, knowing that since your sin is forgiven, you are not condemned. And on the great last day, you can stand confident before your Lord and know that you will hear these wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." That's the peace. That's the peace that Jesus brings. And you now have that peace, dear one. You have that peace by way of His atoning death and His glorious resurrection. You see, heaven and earth has now come together. They are joined together in peace. In the peace of Jesus' incarnation and in the peace of His atonement. As you look at the manger scene, that's why we have right above the manger scene Jesus on the cross. For there is the one who was born to die, and there in His death you have peace. Because He has done this, there is glory in heaven, which the angels will proclaim for all eternity. For God has kept His promise to you. Unlike other human beings, the God-man Jesus kept His promise. He made a promise that He would come and die, that He would serve His fellow man, and in serving His fellow man, they would have peace with God. God made a promise to Adam and Eve. And in making a promise to Adam and Eve, He made the same promise to you, that He would send His Son, the one who would crush the head of the serpent, though His heel was bruised. Yes, His Son did come, and He did suffer, and He did die. And then He rose and ascended, and there at His glorious right hand of the Father, there is this lasting praise in heaven. There is this glorious praise, for in those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. His glorious work at the cross, my dear one, has established your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. So then, you are among those who are awaiting the advent, the second advent of the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord and King, as He will come again to judge the living and the dead, as you just confessed. You are privileged today. Yes, you are privileged today to be in His presence, in the presence of God, the Lord Almighty, here on this first Sunday in Advent. You, dearly beloved, you await that day when with a whole multitude of the disciples, you will see the advent of your coming King. You will see Jesus coming on the clouds with your own eyes. And when you see this, you too will rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all of His mighty works that you have seen and that you have heard. And therefore, we will all together will say forever, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Indeed, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly indeed. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.